God. The book of Jonah is about God's will and how about to respond to it. It's about God's love and how we share it with others. And for us believers today, Jonah's story asks one piercing question. Will we obey God's will and reflect his mercy, and even towards those we consider enemies? Jonah ministered at a time under King Jeroboam's rule in Israel, at a time when the nation was under great spiritual and moral decline. However, Jonah, instead of being called to warn his own people, was sent to Nineveh, the brutal capital of Assyria, a nation that would one day conquer Israel. This wasn't just uncomfortable, it was unthinkable. But here is the truth that makes it so relevant to us. Jonah resisted experience, but failed to let it transform his heart. And isn't that often our struggle too? God speaks, God calls, God shows mercy. We hesitate, we argue, and we run. Jonah leaves us with an open-ended question from God himself. Should I have compassion on Nineveh? The book of Jonah points us back to God, his patience, his relentless pursuit of the lost, and his determination to transform not just nations, but us as well. We look at Jonah's story and not just looking at an ancient prophet, we are studying our own reflection. This is a story about obedience, mercy, and transformation. And it's a story about God who's still pursuing the lost and is still working on all of us. The book of Jonah opens with a clear command. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it." Nineveh was Israelites' enemy, a cruel Assyrian city known for its violence. Jonah knew this call was hard, and he didn't want to do it. Instead, he ran. Verse 3 tells us he fled towards Tarshish, paying the fare and boarding a ship, going in the opposite direction. Here we see Jonah's first mistake. A wrong attitude towards God's will. He thought God was asking him to do something impossible. But when God commands, it's always out of love. Love for Jonah and love for the Ninevites. Psalms 33:11 tells us, reminds us, God's plans for us are for good. When we resist his will, we're not only doubting his wisdom, we are rejecting his love. How often do we do the same? We know what God asks, but we run because it feels too hard. Jonah also showed the wrong attitude towards the word of God. He treated God's voice as an option. But the word of God is not a suggestion, it's a command. Luke 4:6-46, we're reminded, "Why do you call me Lord, but you don't do the things I say?" That's a stern reminder that God is speaking all the time. But those words are for us to obey and to follow. Jonah, hearing God's word is a privilege. Every time we read scripture or sense his leading, we are called to respond with obedience, not delay. Still, Jonah pressed on. He even got a chance to sleep in the hold of the ship. Everything seemed to work in his favor. But here is the danger. Listen to this saying, circumstances can deceive us. You can be out of the will of God and still feel comfortable. You can be in rebellion and still think life is smooth sailing. Jonah had a false peace, but God was preparing a storm. In verse 4, it reads, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a great storm." Jonah lost the voice of God in that moment, no longer hearing his word. Now he was hearing his works. God was speaking through what was going on around him. The sea, the wind, everything in creation obeyed God except his prophet. The sailors panicked. They called out to the God, tossed cargo overboard, desperate to survive. Jonah, well, he's sleeping. What a picture of disobedience. When we run from God, we lose not only spiritual energy, but compassion for others. Souls can be perishing around us, yet disobedience dulls our concern. In verse 6, we read, the captain shook him awake. Arise, call upon your God so that your God will have mercy upon us, that we don't perish. But Jonah had no power to give because he had lost his power in prayer as a result of his disobedience. How tragic when unbelievers pray more earnestly than the people of God. As the storm worsened, the sailors cast lots and Jonah was exposed as the cause. He confessed, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land. But what a contradiction. Claiming to fear God while he's on the run. Disobedience always robs us of credibility. I say that again. Disobedience always robs us of credibility. Can you imagine? He's saying, I worship God. He made the land, he made the sea. I worship the true and the living God. Yet he's in disobedience. Yet he's in the hold. He's on his run from God himself. Jonah's very name means dove, a symbol of peace. But he only brought trouble. Finally, Jonah told them to throw him overboard. Reluctantly, the sailors obeyed and the sea grew calm. The sailors turned in awe to the Lord and offered sacrifices. Think of the irony. Jonah, trying to avoid being a witness, ended up pointing pagans to God in spite of himself. They come to faith. But it wasn't him that was demonstrating what it meant to follow God. We read then in verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, 3 nights. Sound familiar? Somebody else was somewhere for 3 days, 3 nights. Even here, mercy triumphs. God did not destroy the runaway prophet. He preserved him. When Jonah expected to be his grave became God's strange way of preserving him. And inside the belly of that fish, Jonah experienced the turning point. We read in chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God. Out of the fish's belly, his prayer was born out of affliction, not affection. Jonah cried out to God because he was desperate, not because he was delighted in the Lord. But here is the lesson for us. Are you listening? It is better to pray from a place of desperation than to not pray at all. Even today, many of us only pray when we're in trouble. Yet God in his mercy hears the cries of his children, even when our motives are mixed. We read in verse 3, Jonah confessed that thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea. The sailors have thrown him overboard, but Jonah recognized God's hand in his discipline. That's an important step. Accepting that when God corrects us, it's not cruelty, it's actually love. Like the prodigal son in Luke 15, Jonah's rebellion led him to the rock bottom, but God's goodness brought him to repentance. We read that in Romans 2:4. While in the belly of the fish, Jonah always also reflected on the direction his life had taken. We read in verse 6, I went down to the bottom of the mountains, and truly from the moment he ran, Jonah's path had only gone downwards. See, when you run from God, you can only go down. Down to Joppa, down to the ship, down into the sea, now down into the fish. That is always the path of rebellion. When we turn our back on God, the only path is down, but even there, God's grace can meet us. Still, Jonah remembered the promise of God. Yet I will look again to thy holy temple, he declared in his darkest hour. He clung to scripture. His prayer echoed the Psalms, reminding us that the word of God is a lamp in the deepest darkness. What's the lesson for us here? When life feels hopeless, lean on God's promises. What you store in your heart today may be the very truth that sustains you tomorrow. Then Jonah exposed the idols that robbed him of blessing. We read in verse 8 that they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. For Jonah, one idol was his own nationalism. His intense loyalty to Israel blinded him to God's love for others. Even that is a challenge to us. We love our country. We're patriotic. But that doesn't mean to say that we hate other nations. That's the danger. He loved Israel. He loved his nation. But he was looking at other nations that were doing wrong and not seeing the heart of God. God's heart is that no one shall perish, but all come to repentance. We need to know what God's heart is for any given situation. At this moment in time, the United Kingdom is coming under judgment. Economic judgment is coming, where we have different cultures that are against our culture here. But what do? Do we get angry? Do we start personally looking at people saying, okay, you don't follow our God? No, we have to get God's heart for those other people. I'm thinking in particularly Islam at this moment in time. Do we have a love for Islam in the sense of Muslims wanting and desiring for them to come into the faith and experience the true and the living God? That's God's heart. The situation in Ukraine and Russia as well. It breaks my heart to see so many people that are suffering. But do we have the heart for those that are on the other side? Or do we, like Jonah, just gets angry if God shows mercy and they are let off the loose? But God wants all to come into relationship with him and experience the salvation of the Lord. For us, idols may also look different. Pride, comfort, unforgiveness, or even ambition. But the effect is the same. They take away affection and obedience that belong only to God. Finally, Jonah surrendered. We read in verse 9 is the high point of his prayer. Salvation is of the Lord. He could not save himself, neither could anyone else. Only God could rescue him. This truth is the heartbeat of the entire Bible. Salvation belongs to the Lord alone. The chapter ends with both humiliation and hope. Jonah was then vomited upon the dry land. What a humiliating way for a prophet to arrive on shore. Yet Jonah emerged alive, chastened, and with a second chance. Isn't it good to get another chance from the Lord? Eh? Has anybody messed up and you're just grateful that God is there to forgive you over and over again? And for many of us, it's been over and over and over. That's the grace of God, saints. That's what we can celebrate. God had brought him low so he could raise him up. And in the process, Jonah became a living sign pointing to God. The book of Jonah is a reminder our failures do not have to be final. Isn't that encouraging? No matter how many times you've messed up, God is saying here and reminding us our failures do not have to be final. We read in chapter 3, then 1 and 2. It opens with one of the most encouraging words in Scripture. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach the word I gave you. See, this is grace. Jonah had run, resisted, rebelled, but gave him another chance. And isn't that the God that we serve? Abraham lived in Egypt. Jacob deceived his father. Moses fled after killing a man. Peter denied Christ. Jonah's story reminds us failure is not the end. When we repent, God's mercy gives us a fresh beginning. Isn't that encouraging? All those characters in the Bible is just to remind us that when Satan points out your failures, those very failures is the reason why God has called you and will use those weaknesses to fill you with his power and his strength. So Jonah obeyed, it says in verse 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, that wicked city, a city infamous for its cruelty. The Assyrians impaled victims on poles, beheading thousands and even skinned people alive. This was the city God sent Jonah to reach. And here is the lesson. We're listening to this. God's mercy is bigger than our prejudice. God's mercy is bigger than our prejudice, whether it's people or whether it's nations, nations that perhaps we look upon and think, well, yeah, they're evil. You can't see past what they're doing. But it's people and it's hearts and souls that God wants to reach. Where we see hopeless sinners, God sees souls in need of grace. Jonah's message was short, just 5 words in Hebrew. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was it. But those few words carried the power of heaven. We read in verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God. From the king on the throne to the peasants in the field, the people trembled at God's word. What does that teach us? The power is not in the person delivering the message. Jonah obeyed and spoke what God gave him. God done the rest. Sometimes we think it's down to us. I've got to do this. You do your bit and God will do his bit. Obedience is our part. Transformation is God's. So people turned from idols and humbled themselves before the Lord. We read in verse 6, the Assyrian king proclaimed a fast for everyone, showing how deeply the people felt their guilt and shame. So where is the lesson for us here again? True repentance is not just words, it's humility, brokenness, and change of heart. God saw their works and they turned from their wicked way and decided not to pass judgment. Isn't that great? 120,000 people that could have been destroyed because of the obedience of one person, God showed mercy. Some of the lessons here for us is for us not to run. There's a calling on our lives. And when you run, God has to pursue you to get you to a place of surrender that you can come into that purpose. God's plan and purpose for all of our lives is a good one. By running away, we're just missing out on the blessing. We're missing out on the goodness of God. The most fulfilled person is the one that's at the center of God's will for their lives. When you run away, it's only down and down. We just heard it. You go down and down and down. And you come to your senses. Just like we heard, the prodigal son came to his senses when he was in the pig pen, when he had lost everything, spent all his money. Everyone had turned against him, used him, manipulated him. But the great thing about that story is when he decided to come back to God, God was there with his arms open to receive him. No matter how far you've gone, God saves to the utmost. There's no place that you can go where God's hand cannot reach you and bring you back into a relationship with him. For some of you, you've never surrendered. You've just been on the run all your lives. For some of us, we've started the journey and we've gone left and back and forwards. But God is calling us back. No more running. And it's not just about a relationship with God, it's also running. God may be speaking to us about certain habits that we have. But instead of drawing closer to the Lord and experience his strength to break those habits, we're just still running away. Oh, how many of us have done it? Oh, I'll deal with that later. You're negotiating with God. But aren't you better off just doing it God's way? Just like the Israelites spent all that time going around the same mountain over and over again. You don't benefit. You just waste time. But then God's voice has to come louder and louder. If you don't listen to him with the still voice, then he has a way of speaking to us in a louder voice. But eventually he speaks to us just like he did with Jonah in the storm. Our circumstances of life become so obvious that we have to do something about it. How many of us have gone through storms in our lives? All hell has broken loose around us. You think, what's going on? But God is speaking to us in that. Not only on an individual basis, but as a nation. This nation is going through so many storms, economically, spiritually, mentally. The pressure is on. But these circumstances are trying to get a nation's attention. Listen, you once served the God of your father. You once obeyed me. You had the blessing and the perseverance. You had me by your side, but you've turned your back on me as a nation. You expect me to continue to bless you? Doesn't happen. This nation has to be brought to its knees for it to cry out again and come back into a relationship. There is always repentance. We can always turn back. When you decide to change your mind and change your direction, God can work with that. But you have to make your mind up. Choose this day who you want to serve. Do you want to serve God or do you want to serve the world? The worst place to be, is to have one foot in one camp and one foot in the other. I come to church, I'm a Christian, just like Jonah said, I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one that made this, the one that they... Yeah, but your life, it doesn't coincide. You come to church and you got the name Christian, but are you picking up your cross? Are you denying yourself? Are you putting the kingdom of God first? Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? Do you understand what I'm saying? The word we heard, it's not a suggestion. When you hear the word of God here, it's like... If you want, no. If God says something, if we're serious, we obey it, and you see the benefits then come into your life. We serve a great God. He wants to do so much more in our lives. He can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ever ask or think, according to the power that he can give us. But we've got to start deciding which direction to go. Change your mind. See sin the way God sees it. Sin is destructive. Sin is deceitful. You think you can play with it, it's not going to do me any harm. And before you know it, it's got you. And it's sucking you in. And then you try to get away from that habit, but you can't. Only the power of God, only the strength of God can break those habits that we have. How many times are we reminded about the Word of God? To read the Word of God. How are we going to know God's ways without reading the Word of God? How are we going to know to turn away from something unless we know what to turn to? We've got to know His ways as well, which are revealed through the Word of God. Don't let the devil to continue to cheat you out of picking up your Word of God. How many times have we heard that? Heard it, but we need to be reminded all the time, because sometimes you can go 2 or 3 days without even being able to pick up your Bible. The devil's at work trying to distract us. He doesn't want you to repent. He doesn't want you to transform your mind and to follow his ways. But the more we press into the Lord, the more we experience his heart, then we can share the love to those that are around us and to nations that are around us. You receive the heart of God, just as Jonah did. Well, what the Lord was trying to do is to see, get him to see how Nineveh needed to be saved. See, Jonah had a complete different attitude. He was angry when they got saved. But when we have God's heart, then you will see God's plan and purpose. It is not God's plan that no one should perish, but all come to repentance. God's plan is for this nation to turn back to him. God's plan is for those that are overseas. You know, from this shore, many years ago, we sent missionaries all around the world. America, Africa, China even. Because they had the calling of God, they had the heart. God had placed on their heart a desire for people to hear the gospel and to be saved. And we heard it before. When we're not walking in obedience, we don't care what's going on around us. This whole world at the moment is falling apart. But how many people are just carrying on as normal? But if we really press in, God will tell us how urgent the hour is. And that we can be used of God to be able to share the good news to nations around us and to this community and to whoever the Lord leads you to. But we want to see more of the Lord come through. We started another year. Last week's message was about focusing on the Lord. Continuing with Him. Not being distracted. Removing the idols. Make ourselves available. That's the lesson today, is obedience to the Word of God and the plan that God has for you. Even when you mess up, you get up again. What does the Bible say? When the righteous fall down, they get up again 7 times. Over and over again. Isn't that true, Pastor?
That's right.
If I'd stayed down the first time, the Satan told me you're no good, then I wouldn't. Try it again. Try again. Keep going. Keep going. And the more you do it, the more God can work within you. You know, when I first started to evangelize on the street, I was scared. I was thinking, what's this guy going to say to me? Is he going to hit me? Now you do it more and more. Don't care if God is with you. Do you know what I mean? Let's push in, saints of God, 2026. Let's not just sing the songs or just talk about the words. Let's live them. Apply them in our lives. Amen? I can encourage you, if there's something that you're dealing with at the moment, let's invoke God into it to break the chains. This is called Freedom Church for a reason. Whatever it is, hand it over. Surrender your life. Don't allow Satan to have the authority in your life that he has had in 2025 going into this new year. We want to walk in freedom. Walk in his power and his strength. I encourage you to come up and to pray. Just bow your heads first. Father, I just want to thank you that you are a good God. Thank you that the plans that you have for our lives are for good, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No matter how many times we've messed up, Lord, you are faithful to forgive, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the plan that you have for every single person here. Thank you that we can, when we decide to follow you, Lord, that you will come and meet us. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace. Thank you for your presence here today, Lord. Help us, Lord, to obey your word now, Lord. We just thank you for the word of God, which is an example to our lives, Lord. The people have gone before us. They've messed up, but you've used them again. Thank you for who you are, Lord. Thank you for the love that you have for all of us, Lord. We want to surrender. Lord, we want to just call you Lord. And Saviour, we want to be saved from all that there is to be saved from. And come under your lordship in every area of our life, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. Praise God. I encourage you, if you want prayer, come up in Jesus' name as we sing our last song.